It's your turn to sing now. Why don't you stand and sing with us? Child of Bethlehem.
Of his love. Our first Bible reading tonight comes from the book of Luke in chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. So that's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is God's word.
We're going to continue in Luke chapter 1 from verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers."
My baby, Our third reading tonight comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
You've been singing beautifully, and it's time to sing again. So let's stand together. We're singing Long Time Ago in Bethlehem.
Long time ago.
Trumpets sound and angels sing.
Our next reading continues in Luke chapter 2, from verse 8 to verse 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Christmas. This is a favourite at church, and our church makes a lot of noise. Apologies to the babies in the cry room. We are going to make a lot of noise. Now, who knows the actions to Merry, Merry Christmas? Don't be shy. I expect every single one of you, wherever you are sitting, to be a Christmas tree. All hands like this. And then this is what you do with your hips. That's the actions, all right? Easy, nice and easy. All right, here we go, band.
Christmas. Come and find forgiveness. Jesus Christ the King is born. I'm singing Merry, Merry Christmas. Come and find forgiveness. Jesus Christ the King is born. More than Christmas trees, more than Calvary's, more than presents, we need Jesus. More than declarations, more than celebrations, one for all the nations, we need Jesus. Merry, Merry Christmas, come and find forgiveness. Jesus Christ the King is born. I'm singing Merry, Merry Christmas, come and find forgiveness. Jesus Christ the King is born. More than Christmas lights, more than carol lights, more than good times, we need Jesus.
Worship our Saviour Jesus, isn't it? Wonderful singing. Let's keep singing. There's a nice little voice in there too. Once in Royal David City.
Where are my
Our next reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they return to their country by another route.
We three kings, let's stand together. Enjoyed singing these incredible words about the incredible story of the birth of our Saviour. One more carol, we'll sing it together. Once in Royal David City. No, it's O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you that we can come here tonight to worship you. Lord, we pray for those who don't have this luxury. We pray for those who are being persecuted, and we pray that you will help them remain strong in you as they go through challenging times. Thank you that you are in control of everything. Thank you for making the sun, the moon, and stars. Thank you for making everything and everyone to reflect you. We're sorry that we disobey you and that we continuously make the wrong choices. Lord, help us to continue to trust you and stand firm in you, even though this may be hard, and especially when it is hard. Lord, please help us be a light for you this week. Help us to be different from everyone and help people see that what makes us different is you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. We're grateful that you sent him to make peace between us, and we pray that we won't take this for granted. Lord, we bring before you those with ongoing health concerns. Lord, we pray that if it's your will, that you will heal them and give them reprieve from the pain. If it's not your will, we pray that you will give them relief during day-to-day activities and that they will rely on you to keep on going. Please continue to guide our church leadership. Please keep the pastoral team close to you as they do your work in our church. Please keep the elders and deacons diligent in making the right decisions for the church, especially as we search for an associate and youth pastor. Lord, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you that we get to celebrate the love that you showed us, even when we didn't deserve it. We thank you that you sent your only son for each and every one of us. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Lord, we pray that we will remember that you have given us the greatest gift, your son. We bring before you Pastor Ian as he brings your word to us. Lord, please help Ian be faithful to your word, and please open up our hearts and ears as we hear your word. We pray all these things in your amazing name. Amen.
The Bible reading for the message tonight is from 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
2 weeks before Christmas, a 9-year-old girl was walking with a friend down the street, sliding on the ice. This is overseas, of course. The two of them were talking about what they hoped to get for Christmas, as I'm sure some of the young boys and girls today and tonight are wondering. They stopped to talk to an old man named Harry, who was on his knees, pulling weeds from around a large oak tree. He wore a frayed woolen jacket and a pair of worn-out garden gloves. His fingers were sticking out the ends, blue from the cold. As Harry responded to the girls, he told them he was getting the yard in shape as a Christmas present to his mother, who had passed away several years before. His eyes brimmed with tears as he patted the old oak. My mother was all I had. She loved her yard and her trees, so I do this for her at Christmas. His words touched the girls, and they soon went down on their hands and knees, helping him to weed around the trees. It took the three of them the rest of the day to complete the task. When they finished, Harry pressed a quarter into each of their hands. "I wish I could pay you more, but it's all I've got right now," he said. The girls had often passed that way before, and as they walked on, they remembered that the house was shabby with no wealth, no Christmas tree, or any other decorations to add cheeriness. Just the lonely figure of Harry sitting by his curtainless window. The quarter seemed to burn a hole of guilt in one of the little girls' mind as they returned to their homes. The next day she called a friend and they agreed to put their quarters in a jar marked Harry's Christmas present. And then they began to seek out small jobs to earn more. Every nickel, dime and quarter they earned went into the jar. 2 days before Christmas, they had enough to buy new gloves and a Christmas card. Christmas Eve found them on Harry's doorstep singing carols. Remember when you used to do that? When he opened the door, they presented him with the gloves wrapped in pretty paper and the card and a pumpkin pie still warm from the oven. With trembling hands, he tore the paper from the gloves. And then, to their astonishment, he held them to his face and he wept. I wonder if you were to cast your mind back, whether or not you can remember what your best Christmas present was. Now, I'm a little bit old to do that. And when I thought to try and do the exercise myself, and thinking back over the last years, I couldn't come to a conclusion on that. I'm just too old to remember all the Christmas presents I've got, to be honest. And so it's impossible for me to do that. But one of the realities about a Christmas present, as demonstrated in this story, is that it is a gift. You don't earn it, And I, as a child, certainly didn't deserve it. In fact, it was, this is a bit loud, this keeps getting, I'm getting variable sound here, it sounds very loud to me up front here. I, as a child, if it came down to Father Christmas buying gifts because you were good or naughty, well, I know what category I fell into. And there was very little hope of getting anything if it came down to that. But when the presents came, it was a gift of grace and a gift of love by my mother. She didn't give me presents because I deserved it. She didn't give me presents because I'd earned it, for sure. She didn't give me presents because I'd done all my chores or I'd behaved well. She gave me a present because she loved me. And it was an expression of her love. And you have received exactly the same from those who love you. And when this passage is read out, this is love. Not that we first love God, but that He first loved us and gave His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Is a reminder that when God expresses His love, He does it through the sending of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. He does it by sending His Son into a world that does not want Him. He does it sending His Son into a world that does not deserve Him. He does it in sending His Son into a world that rejects Him. It's one thing to love someone who is family and is close to you. It's another thing to love someone who hates you and wants nothing to do with you and eventually puts your only begotten Son to death on a cross. Yet that is exactly how God expresses His love towards us, by sending Jesus into the world to be born in order that He might die. That's His sole purpose of being born. Imagine that. Imagine if your parents sat you down one day at 12 years of age or whatever age and said to you, I just want you to know that you have been born into this world so that when you get to an older age, you are going to be murdered, put to death by people who hate you. That's the sole reason why you've been born. How you would react to that? I'm sure you would have some objections. And yet God in Christ voluntarily gives Himself as a sacrifice. He's not forced. His arm is not twisted. It's not as if God is having to coerce and manipulate Jesus into going to the cross. Jesus goes there voluntarily. And we are told that when He is on that cross, He could have called on 10,000 angels to rescue Him and to defeat the very ones that are putting Him to death on the cross. And yet Jesus stays on that cross as the supreme act of love, dying for the very ones who are putting Him on that cross. That's a miracle of love. You know, and I know, that we live in a broken world. It's broken. You know that. I was just looking at some stats earlier, and you know, 30% of women who grow up in Australia from the age 15 will in some way be physically abused. That's disgraceful, don't you think? 30%. It's a disgrace. It's a shame. Every day in Australia, every single day, one woman is murdered by a partner. That's a disgrace. We suffer from teen suicide, injury, because those deaths have an association with alcohol. Do you know that in Australia, every day, every single day, 15 people die because of the abuse of alcohol? Don't you think that's a shame? One is too many. We have 15 every single day. Do you know that over the weekend, 60 to 70% of hospital admissions are alcohol related. We sit with a divorce rate of hovering at 40%. Now that doesn't include all the breakups that happen of couples who are de facto living together and have been, that are the equivalent of being in a marriage. If you were to add that, the numbers would escalate exponentially. And we live in a very, very broken world. And surely, surely that begs the question, why? Where did it go wrong? Why do we live in this kind of, why can we not get it right? Why can we not create the kind of environment where everyone can live a fulfilling, contented life? Why do we have to live in a world that is so filled with brokenness and suffering and pain? Surely that's a question that must roll around your mind from time to time. And why over thousands of years have we, as much as we have tried, not been able to fix these problems? Have you ever thought about that? Why can't we fix them? We certainly try. We try through legislation. But legislation doesn't fix anything. It just provides a bunch of rules that you can break. We've tried education. All we need to do, we are told, is educate people. But education hasn't fixed our problems. And no amount of education or legislation is ever going to fix our problems. What repairs and fixes our problem is when we get to the cause of the issue rather than treat symptoms. And the cause of the issue of the brokenness in which we live is our rebellion against God. It really is that simple. And until you fix that issue, the other issues won't be fixed. You will continue to struggle with them again and again and again. Until we deal with the sin issue, the core issue, the cancer that is eating from within, until we radically address that, we will continue to struggle to live in a world filled with pain and brokenness. But it is precisely why Jesus comes. It is precisely why God sends His Son into this world. Instead of leaving this world just to degenerate and fall apart at the seams, God, in great mercy and love, looks upon this humanity that has rebelled against Him and has strayed and has gone in their own way, that has rejected Him and has basically said to God, we know how to live. We don't need you to tell us how to live. We will live according to our own wisdom, our own counsel, our own ways. We will determine what is right and wrong. We will create our own moral base on which we will live. And look at the result. Look at the result. A broken world. Wherever you go, whether it's Australia, whether it's Russia, whether it's Argentina, doesn't matter. Whether it's Nigeria, all over the world, there's brokenness. And Jesus comes to fix that. Jesus comes to address that. Jesus is born in order to deal with the one problem that you and I cannot resolve without the help of God. And that is our rebellion, our self-centeredness, our turning away from God. And Jesus comes to deal with that issue, that core issue. And He deals with it by fulfilling the demands of God's law, by living a perfect life, by sacrificing Himself on the cross, by taking upon Himself our rebellion, our ugliness, our sin, and experiencing the judgment of God against Him when God exercises His wrath against Christ, so that we can finally fix a problem or have a problem fixed that on our own steam we cannot fix. And God through Christ reconciles us to Himself when we turn away from that rebellion. When we trust in what Jesus has done on that cross. Where we put our faith in Him and His work. where we turn away from our self-centeredness and we give control of our lives to Christ so that He lives His life through us. And we are brought back into relationship with God, where we finally get to enjoy in this world and in the next fullness of life that is not bound up by our circumstances, but that is bound up in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we live life at a different level. And though we continue to live in a broken world, because it's only when Christ returns and sets up His kingdom, His eternal kingdom, where all this brokenness will finally be banished forever, we have to continue to realize that we will struggle in this broken world. But at least we can know that there's transformation in our own lives, where God fixes the damage of our rebellion and our sin. And only God can do that. And that, you see, is why, and you know this, that is why when Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he doesn't just say God patches you up, or God fills in the gaps, or God just plasters over the problems that exist, but God makes you into an entirely new person. A new creation in Christ. And when God transforms people, the world will be transformed. Because you and I just cannot live life without the help of God. We just can't. And without being transformed from within. And then everything changes. I want to close with a conversation I had with someone recently. I won't mention who it was. But they were talking to me about their husband, who was something of a tyrant. And they said to me, their marriage, and in fact this person, this lady I was talking to, said to me, it wasn't just her husband that was the problem. She said, I was equally as bad as him. And we were living these lives away from God. We were rebelling to God. And our marriage was on the rocks. We were right close to being divorced and going our separate ways. And then God stepped in. And she said, God saved my husband. And she said to me, Ian, the transformation I saw in his life was astounding. God changed him completely. And I knew it was real. And I wanted it. And then she said, I went with him to church. And God saved me and transformed me and changed me. And our lives changed forever. Only God in Christ can do that. And let me tell you, when God transforms, He does a beautiful job. That's His business. Transforming people's lives. Transforming a society. How do you fix a broken world? You fix a broken world when people come to Christ and are made into new people and live according to a new ethic that comes from Him. Do you know this Christ? Have you received Him as your Savior? Have you turned to Him? Have you experienced the life that He offers? Have you been drawn into a relationship with the transforming Savior of the world? For this reason, Jesus was born, to transform us. And only He can do that. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You so much for sending Christ. What a Savior. That He should come to broken people in a broken world and deal with the core issue that all of us suffer from, our sin, our rebellion, our self-centeredness. And that in dealing with that issue, He is able to transform us, to reconcile us, to make us new, to give us newness in life, to transform us into His image. Thank You for sending Your Son. thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pray for any here who have never been transformed by Him, who have never been changed by Him, who are still living in rebellion to You, whose life revolves around them and their own self-centeredness. Oh God, have mercy on them. Show them how much You love them in sending Jesus Christ to die for their sin and to draw them into a relationship with You. Draw them to Yourself tonight, I pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Stand together and sing.
With us, our true and forever King, the King of sheep and shepherds, stars and stargazers, of crowded inns and small spare rooms, of journeys and destinations, of our dreams and of our waking, of our hiding and our fears, of all the earth and everything in it, our King, the one whom Mary welcomed, the one whom Joseph raised, the one the shepherds followed and the one the wise men praised. The one who came and met us in the frailness of our earth. the one who in his death gives us a second birth. God with us. Born is the King, God's great gift of joy to the world.